Father, we're thankful so much this morning that we have another chance to come together to further study ministry in the apostolic dimension. We're thankful for every person that is tuning in, pastors, prophets, whatever office they believe they're standing in. We're so thankful that the Holy Spirit has no confusion at this hour when so many things are going on. He can reveal to us this very day our next step, our next move. We're thankful that we have the gifts of the Spirit. We have revelation. We thank you for every minister, every ministry. We thank you for LTMA. We thank you that we are a ministry of cooperation, not competition. We thank you. We love you. We love one another. We're not fault finders, but we are builders. And so today, as we give this very important impartation, Father, I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your glory be manifest to us and that we see the things that we need to do, changes we need to make, things we need to hold on to. We praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let's deal with the subject matter that we're to impart today. Unfolding the mysteries of apostolic ministry. Very important that we understand that. Unfolding the mysteries of apostolic ministry. And I love this definition, an apostle structures heaven to earth's government so that the porters of the supernatural, listen to that, porters is plural, porters of the supernatural can be open to allow all those connected to enter and benefit. You can't get no better than that, okay? A very powerful scripture. Many years ago, I came a hold of this scripture. I tried to perfect it as much as I could with the information I had. But I think it's a scripture that we need to look at too, along with Ephesians 4. And it's apostolic. The scripture is apostolic. It is apostolic instruction to pastors, to churches. And I want us to see that way this morning for the things we need to share this morning. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, strong apostolic instruction there. And I think there still has great validity today. What we're coming into, we're moving beyond tradition, beyond regular. We have to walk in divine insight in these moments. We have to make sure that we do not make a step without the presence of God. Presence of God is so important. I desire this morning in this impartation that the anointing becomes so strong, it come through the screen. That's why I'm gonna take my time. And here the Apostle Paul instruct elders. He says, "For I have in the 27th verse, for I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That's what an apostle do. He'll give it all to you. He don't try to hide nothing from you. He don't want to be no bigger than you are. He don't want to be no higher than you. He don't have to do that. You see what I'm saying? He don't have to keep you small. He wants you to expand. He wants you to explode. He wants you to find out everything God wants you to do and know exactly how to do it. And so there's no competition. It's cooperation. So you can know in LTMA, we're not trying to hold you down in no way, no how. We're trying to push you up. So he share all things with you. The 28th verse says, now, it's very important in this shifting that we don't try to change people and we're not changing ourselves. Mm-hmm. You understand that? Somebody nod their head on screen. Nod your head. Let me see. Yeah, see. Yeah, you cannot change someone or help someone if you're not helped. So we're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to have things manifesting in our lives, in our families, in every aspect, we should have that going on that others may see what we're trying to teach is working for us. Say amen. Amen. Yeah, you see, you got to have some evidence, not just a lot of outlines. You need to have evidence. So apostolic bring changes where you have evidence so strong that when you get up to talk, even if you're not saying nothing, people will listen to you because you have so much evidence that is working for you. Okay, now we've had a sad series of moments in the body of Christ where ministers never were elevated in revelation and manifestation and demonstration to the point that it had an effect on those they ministered to. We're not going to put up with that in LTMA. You're going to promote, or you're going to be promoted. We're going to find out what you're not doing, because there's no reason for to hang in this type of atmosphere and environment with all the proof that is set before you by God that you don't recognize that it's all God. It's not a man. It's not a woman. It's God. But you are designed to be a partaker of it. So that's a lot of shackles, a lot of weight we've been carrying in ministry for a long time. We're going to have to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. And so there's going to have to be some cutting, some bleeding, some lamping, you know. But it's all for the building up of what God wants us to be. So he says in verse 28, and I don't want to stay too long because I got a lot of things to say to you. But take heed therefore unto yourselves first and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, hallelujah, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That's a loaded verse. Verse 28, it's loaded with apostolic wisdom, apostolic insight. You see it? It's loaded because it deals with you, it deals with the flock. And then he tell you that you have, it's the Holy Ghost is actually the one, is the overseer. They talk about feeding the church. And then they talk about Jesus purchased with his own blood. Jesus paid for it. You got to remember those things. These things are not elementary. These things have been memorized, but not realized. All right, so these are not elementary things. You see, we've been around them so long, we'll think that this is elementary stuff and we need to go on further. No. What happened, we skipped over this and went to another whole lot of elementary stuff. But in LTMA, I want you to recognize you got to take care of yourself first. You got to make sure you hooked up to God properly before you try to feed somebody else. Amen? All right, now, 29th verse says, for I know that, now I know this, that after my departing, here we go, they out there shall grievous wolf enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Well, we're going to see in our impartation outline today how many changes are being made, so swift. Culture's changing, economy changing, government are changing. A lot of things changing, so we're going to be on top of our supernatural game. On top of our supernatural game. We're going to be on top, all right? She said in 29th verse, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolf enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own self. Verse 30, shall men arise speaking perverse things, woe mine, to draw away disciples after them. Now this is the whole shakeup. That's why the church is not in holiness, sanctification. We're trying to please everybody. And the power of God can't function in compromising to get people to come to church, changing everything, just make it favorable for everybody. That's not going to work. We're going to have to stand in love, but tell the truth at all times. Then it goes on. Verse 31 says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not the apostle talking, to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And Paul tell you, I wasn't after your money and the thing that most people think somebody after. Now, I want you to record these words because I got them this morning. Record, I want you to take Acts 20, 27 through 35, Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, be a student, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. Now, I got a word from God, our text, on yesterday, but for LTMA, I got a word for you for this year. Everyone and everything are going to another level. Everyone and everything are going to another level. Now, let's remember when we come into the revelation of the apostolic anointing or the apostolic wisdom or the apostolic seal or the apostolic mantle, it is talking about consistently being a pioneer. Consistently being a pioneer. In other words, almost to the church at large, tapping into virgin territory by revelation, by anointing. Are you listening to me? Tapping into virgin territory. Don't be afraid to go there. In other words, you don't have to have 19 organizations doing it, okay, as long as you're led by the Spirit. And then recognize that we were designed, the body of Christ at large was designed to be pathfinders. See, if the apostolic anointing had stayed on the church as it should, we'll still be pathfinders. Pace setters. I'll go over that and over that again. Pace setters. God gave me two more this morning when I was preparing. And I like this. Promotion finders. Promotion finders. When people following you and you finding promotion in the things of God, which is well pleasing to God, that as an apostolic, anointing you're wearing, you should be a promotion finder. Otherwise, promotion should show up for you and you know what to do. And then the next one is a preparation anointing. We're designed to prepare people for what's coming. Our anointing should prepare people for what's coming and how to handle it. And they should have insight, they should have revelation, they should have wisdom and discernment apostolically from all of us. Are you following me? All right, now, I want you to record these six or seven things here. Changes. Changes. A lot of changes are being made now. And revolution. These changes are revolutionizing, if I can use such a word. And revolution is a forcible overthrow of a government, a social order in favor of a new system. And that's what's going on right now in the world system. You like transgender, homosexual. They are saying that if you deal with that, you're not walking in love. And they got organization now really progressing naturally and demonically in that area because they are well versed on how to say is all right. But we got to do is pull them back to the Bible. But it's going to be more and more and more. Matter of fact, I call my youngest son and my daughter, because they have young children, and I told them, let none of my grandchildren go to bed with instruments with them. Phone, nor them little iPad, right, that they cannot use them without supervision. Right. So if you got grandchildren, you got grandchildren under you, you need to let your children know that this is a type of covenant we're going to make for our children because it's out there. And apostolically, we should have enough wisdom to make a move to protect those children. All right? Challenges, not only changes, but challenges. I have a word by that word challenge is ready, being ready for the challenge. And being ready for the challenge through walking in reality, the realities of God, the realities of Jesus Christ, the reality of the Holy Spirit, the realities of the Word of God, the realities of the grace of God, the realities of the mercies of God. Those things by prayer, by supplication, by paying attention, by holiness, by sanctification, we can walk through this trash and not get nothing on us. And we need to train people how to walk through this trash and not to get none of it on them. They wear a non-trash wearing anointing that they can't get on them. Are you following me? That's where the apostolic, that's why Satan wanted to push the apostolic on the side. Some people are ignorant enough to say the apostolic apostles don't exist today, but they don't know the category. Jesus was the chief apostle. Then you have the 12 foundational apostles, but we're the New Testament apostle. We're the resurrection apostle that's still alive today. And that's the only way we're going to take the church back to the book of Acts. We need to get back in the book of Acts when we say some things start moving. But you got to be anointed probably for that. Then creative. We're going to have to be walking in creative revelation, not creating nothing new, but bringing forth the manifold mysteries that the Holy Spirit must reveal to leaders today. Manifold mysteries. You know, the Bible says something about mysteries. And then 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, he that speaketh in another tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mystery. Then he revealed the whole plan of God is S-E-E-D. That's the whole plan of God. Jesus Christ was a S-E-E-D. It's a seed plan. And so when he taught in Matthew 13 about the seed, he come to talk about a man or woman who know the mysteries of the kingdom should have abundance. Those who do not know what they have going to be taken from them. So Revelation, unfolding mysteries, I impart that at a greater dimension to you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you, we have revelation, we have understanding of some mysteries, but I'm calling it to become more deeper, more stronger, more powerful, more real, you know, because we call this an impartation, you know. And so the anointing, I release that anointing over your ministry and over you at this point. Construction. We're going to be constructive now. We've got to recognize that we are builders, and we're going to have to be, I use the word rebuilding, because of the stagnation so long in the aspect of the apostolic government. Then Ephesians 4:11, Ephesians 4:12 has been suffering, and the 13 through the 16 verse has not been validated in Ephesians 4. So that's basically the ground we're working on with all of us operating in the apostolic. We can begin to rebuild a church properly like God wanted to be built, and that's the only way it's going to last. That's the only way. That's why he called it the apostolic back in, because the church under a normal pastoral or teaching or evangelist, even the prophetic. The prophetic is revelation, but you got to have that government. And that's the way he built it. And so by you being a part of LTMA, you're taking on an apostolic anointing on your life, an apostolic grace, and may the Lord put an apostolic seal on you that you know exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Never afraid. Always knowing that God taking care of business. So rebuilding, Now with denomination, with organization, have really toned down a lot of things because, first of all, ministers have not known their possibilities because they were smothered by somebody else. And so, you know, you got the big boy and the little boy. So what happened, we got to rebuild that nobody be smothered. Everybody gift come out. Everybody can go high as they want to go. Nobody get jealous. Nobody get worried about it because what God got for you, you're going to get it. So just let people grow. Just let people go to another level. And so when we do this apostolically in the ministry, now we go back to Ephesians 4, verses 12 through 16 take place. The people, I remember ministering to my people the last time I ministered to them, and I looked at them and I told them, I said, y'all got it. I'm not the only one having it. You all got it. You're all powerful. You all supposed to do ministry. You all can preach. Are you following me? Where the people be set free, that they're not just dependent on the pulpit. They got to know they could take it home with them. Y'all follow me? But if I need the people to be low for me to be big, then that's sad. And so that's sort of like people held back so long, so we got to rebuild that. And then each one from this lesson, I heard it this way, is the new year word about being more than a conqueror. But the Lord said to tell you, you must wear a conquering anointing. A conquering anointing. An anointing that calls you to reign in life and people that you minister to know how to reign in life, through a triumph in life, through revelation, through unction and anointing from the Holy Ghost, 1 John 2:27 and 2:20, unction and anointing is so important. Now, one of my forte, I followed my spiritual father, and I saw a lot of ministers ministering, but they don't have no anointing. They got what they did is they got emotion and anointing mixed up. Anointing affect people. It just is emotion get them to moving, but anointing affect their life. In other words, the emotion, you pick it up, 15 minutes are gone. Anointing, once you experience an anointing, it's a lifetime. It'll track you down the rest of your life. I know in different areas I walked in anointing, and that anointing been tracking me for 35, 40 years. Once you walk into an area of anointing, you never walk out. It walk with you. So I see good teaching. I see good explanation. But everybody in the LTMA, I want them to grow in anointing. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to take you over without emotion. Just be strong. Just stand and be strong. Just soak yourself in the presence of God. And everybody who's listening at you and looking at you, recognize that anointing on me right now. You look. They recognize it. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. You're not just a man. You're not just a woman. You're somebody who sent by God. Even through the screen, my brother and sister, you'll be able to pick up this anointing. It's in the room. It's all in the sanctuary. I'm standing in my sanctuary. See? It'll come in your room right where you are now. That's how powerful it is. See, the anointing is more powerful than electricity. The anointing carry a light with it. It carry a life with it. It carry always packing the supernatural. Always packing miracles, signs, and wonders. And I had to learn over the years, and I'm still learning, you don't have to rush this. When you're ministering, you don't have to rush it. You stay right there and pause and let that anointing soak in while you're ministering. All right, so a conquering anointing. And then cooperation. One of the things that the MVBs who was under me, they are in full cooperation, and they are called to keep you to the point of being in cooperation. No competition, cooperation. And then completely stable. Write those words down. Completely stable. In other words, the apostolic anointing will make you a rock. No matter what turbulent come up, you'll be a rock. You won't be frigid. You won't jump around. Now, four other things I want to impart that we have to wear. No compromises. Don't compromise for the cultures that are trying to be built. I mean, a man got 13,000 members. Don't follow him if you're not following the Holy Ghost. Don't compromise for numbers. No, you want to honor God.
Yes.
We got to honor God. We got to honor him. We got to honor Jesus. We got to have grace on us. We got to walk in the grace of God. So no compromising, no fear. We got to stay near to God. And we got to recognize nothing is impossible. Got it? No compromising, not in the LTMA. No fear. I don't care what you're going through. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Power, love, and a sound mind. We got to stay holy. We got to stay sanctified. We're not going to have no whores in LTMA. Because them boys will catch you. You come in here and try to mess around with these women or do something, you gone, baby. We ain't got no time for that. We've had whole church for hundreds of years now. Ain't time for no whole church now. We need to do what's right.
Yeah.
And if you got a problem, you need to get with one of the MVBs and talk to them and tell them you got a weakness so they can help you. Or we're going to put you out. Making wisdom choices. Making wisdom choices. Don't make no, don't call everybody. Talk to God about it. See if any man lack wisdom, you know he's gonna lack. And your faith gonna be tried, James 1:1-6. Some of y'all might be going through the thing now. Your faith gonna be tried. Your ministry gonna be tried. But just ask for wisdom and ask in faith. Because nothing work without faith, Hebrews 11:6. So more changes. And this book wrote 1999. Apostle wrote this book in 1999. And is so current today. Dr. Farber had the book, and that's another thing I want to compliment him on. He had the book apostolically, and he said, this book not for me. See, you can read, try to read a book. If you're not ready for it, the book will mess you up because you'll try to do things you don't have the power to do. You don't have the anointing. You don't have the wisdom. You don't have the growth. You don't have the, you see. All of us can quote scriptures, but do you have any evidence? Do you have any thing? I was thinking about it, and I said it in another class, but I've seen three people raised from the dead under my ministry. All kind of lady was testifying here this Sunday, that she was under my ministry and the word was in her, and they wanted to cut her foot off, and she heard me talking to her. And goddamn, the doctor was ready to cut it off and said, oh, we can't do it. It don't need to be cut off. See, that's the kind of reports you need to have in your ministry, and you're supposed to have it. So here, more changes are crammed into every day of our lives than our great-grandparents experienced in decades. More changes. Changes of all kinds. Here we go. Let's put the categories of these changes. Economic. Economic changes. I was preaching on Sunday. I didn't know what the Holy Ghost was talking about. I said, when I talked about the economy, I said this, and you get it as soon as I say it. I said then, you probably, most of y'all probably heard it. I said, God can change water into gasoline. As soon as I said that, the Holy Ghost took me to that, John chapter 2. He said, didn't he turn water into wine? Why he can't change water into gasoline? In other words, just showing people that when you're living in a supernatural realm, God going to work it out. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I mean, if you listen to me now, if anything you're dealing with, that's why you're in the LTMA. That's why we're surrounding one another. God working it out right now. While you sit here listening to me, God working it out. Okay? Changes of all kinds. Number one, economic. Number two, social. Socialism is a dog. They socialize everything in the church too. Or the other one, this is the next one. Culture. Culture changes. You see them? And I like the next one too because it's real dangerous, technological, techniques that are coming, computerized and all of this fancy stuff that is out there. We're going to have to know that the Holy Ghost is above all of that. The Holy Ghost is the greatest technician that ever existed. You know why? He's a creative technician. I want to pray in tongue. Computers can't create. And somewhere in your ministry, you're going to have to let it be known that God is still above everything. Talk to me up in here. God is still ahead of everybody. And you represent him. And so we must manifest, we must demonstrate what we're preaching. Talk to me. All right, now, also, not only technological things, political failure. They're failing. I'm not Democrat, I'm not Republican, I ain't nothing. I'm Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'll vote for a horse if you know what to do. I just want you to understand that. And then, let me give them to you again. Economic, these changes. Social, while I'm talking, turn to Malachi 3:6. Economic, social, culture. Take this thing, boy, make noise. Culture, I don't know how to turn it on. Cultural, technological, political, talking about changes. And then it says religious are happening at an accelerating rate. Now you see what Malachi 3:6 says though? That's the apostolic. Well, I'm the Lord. I don't care who changed. I changed not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So we're not gonna be consumed because God hasn't changed. I mean, and try to help your people. Try to help your people. I know we get technology and try to help your people to have a blessing. You know, they can bring their phone. I know they get it real fast on their phone. But when I hold this book up, I'm holding just God. Mm-hmm. I hold a phone up, a iPad up. I'm holding everything that exists. You follow what I'm saying? So I believe this has something to do with my stability. And I have my iPad with me sometime, and I use it. I have an outline I've typed on my phone and go on the iPad. But Bessie, I see you, girl. And be able to where you can write in it. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. You know, I guess they can call me old-fashioned. But if they follow me, they'll be praying, Lord, make me old-fashioned, because I got evidence what this book have done over the years, all right? Now, it says in some of these areas, not just accelerating, but exploding, the changes being made, and the Lord had me to write on top of that statement, as we wear the apostolic anointing, we are designed to always produce supernatural explosion. Supernatural explosion. Every time you preach, every time you teach, every time you open your mouth, you must expect a supernatural explosion. That's the key to Jesus' ministry. Jesus, when Jesus spoke, his word was created, and he always brought forth a supernatural explosion. We're going to do John 14, 12 and 13. We're going to be doing it. And let me talk to you. I didn't know this, but I know it now. This cannot be done without the fivefold ministry connected properly. It's God's design. I mean, it's not man mind, it's God's design, but it has to be done properly for it to work like it should work. That, see, because we are called by God for the people. So if the 11 voice is not right in Ephesians 4 and 11, the 12 voice can't get it right, the 13 voice can't get it right, the 14. So the people now need to know who they are, need to know that they are powerful, need to know that they are anointed, and need to know that God moves when they talk on their behalf. Now, for us, the church, to be able to ride these waves, all these changes, we need to have clear apostolic strategies that will help us have objective action plans to build for the future. And in one of my favorite verses, when I started teaching Money Coming, I found that verse in Jeremiah 29:11, both in the NIV and the Amplified Bible. God has a plan. Always know that. God has a plan. Now listen to another point under that. Anything built today must have the view of the future culture and environment for it to remain relevant and useful. Now he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is saying today, yesterday, and forever. So don't change Jesus. Don't change the structure of the church. Stay with it. I mean, they may look so successful, they got so many members, but let a storm come. If they don't have revelation, they don't have anointing, you remember getting an army, right? You remember the 12 spies, right? You remember what Jesus, when he's teaching, Jesus said there's a narrow way and a straight gate. That's what he said, straight gate, right? Broad way and a wide gate. So we have been pre-warned about this time. Popularity. Popularity can't function with a person functioning in power. You got power, you're better than popularity. You're not going to be popular. Now, you'll be people who love God like you all respect me. Why? Because you know I'm real. And you know I'm not doing this. You know it's God doing it. Well, you're going to have a remnant of people respect you the same way. Stick with the remnant. Don't worry about the crowd. Feed the remnant. I know the remnant in this church here, in Word of Life Christian Center. I know who the remnant is. I know them by name. I know them by spirit. I know everybody in Florida, they will stay, come when they get ready, set up, oh, they don't come to prayer. I know that. You can't get upset about that. Go on about your business. Yeah, that's normal. Hallelujah. If we not, let me read this again. To build as we built in the past while the world we are trying to reach is changing drastically would mean that our religious blindness has but us out of reach with and put us out of reach with reality. In Matthew 16:16 through 19, there we have to work from that pivotal point. You know, you talk about the keys and the rock, revelation, rock, and the key, revelation, rock, and the keys is in that passage. If we don't, and we are, but if the changes are not made properly, it is said here, we are bound to become victim instead of victors. Okay. The new pioneer leaders God is remaking and retraining today understand that change is the rule of the game. We got to make some changes. This new kind of leader and his church benefit from change. Not just standing and saying, this church been revolutionized. I had to make some changes, man. I came out of the Baptist, I was a Catholic boy, came out of the Baptist circle, and I was running to them convention with them guys. And the way I quit, I got in the car one time, and they asked me, said, you got a girl? I said, what? I know. And these were some high boys there, you know. They had me in the center there in the back, you know. I guess they were trying to make a crook out of me. And I said, girl? What kind of girl? Girlfriend. Oh, you boy, you know everybody. I said, let me out. And they tried to make me president to get me back, still wanted me in there, but I wouldn't take it. And I got out the car and I ain't been back there since. So there's some people you got to cut loose. Right. Hallelujah. Some of your relative. Jesus said, thank God I come to send peace, I come to send a sword. Are y'all listening? Huh?
Yep.
Okay, now, the new pioneer leaders, see, that's apostolic, God is remaking and retraining today, understand that change is the rule of the game. This new kind of leader and his church benefit from change. I've seen that over and over. Change is no longer is the rule of his life and ministry, but only the rule. Instead of resisting changes in thought paradigm, they welcome and see harmony with it. And they have learned how to make changes work for them rather than against them. Now, what are you saying? Let me congeal that as best as I can. The changes that are being made now, this book foretold us, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's nothing new. Why are you so surprised? Why are you so surprised to see two men walking around holding hands kissing? Why are you so surprised? Don't focus on that. Focus on when you see that man pass with his wife and his little children holding their hand laughing. Because that's what the enemy wanted to break. He wanted to talk about that, focus on that, preach about that all day long. No, we cut it, but it's not our subject. Are you following me? We cut it, but our subject is God say holiness is right. And so we want our people to walk in holiness. All right, y'all with me? These new leaders embrace apostolic wisdom to build and to bless. They seek honestly for cooperation with others who are like-minded and who are of a kindred spirit. All right. Darius, how long I've been going? You got me here. Huh?
45 minutes.
How many?
45 minutes.
You lying.
45 minutes.
All y'all lying. 45 minutes. Your clock wrong. Acts 2:1-4. You know it, but I want you to record it now. These leaders of the present and short of the coming future are champions of cooperation and not of competition. That's very important. I want everybody to go as high as you can go. You don't have to worry about me. I'm going to be there. Ha, ha, ha. You understand? I'm not going to teach you something and let you outdo me in doing it. I'm not talking about the level of money or nothing. I'm just talking about I'm teaching myself too. I'm doing it too. So I ain't never worried about me not being blessed. It's impossible for me not to be blessed. It's impossible. I'm always going to be blessed. Because when you work as God says, he'll bless you. They welcome a philosophy of biblical understanding, godly cooperation, revelation knowledge, and apostolic wisdom. Let me go over that again. Cooperation. Just, see, in LTMA, we can have this because we're not in competition. So what I want you to get these words. They welcome a philosophy of biblical understanding, godly cooperation, revelation knowledge, and apostolic wisdom. So they can achieve the God-given vision that involved the region, regions, and nations. They will get what they want by helping those in covenant to get what they want. Follow it? Interdependence, networking, and wholesome relationship are slowing, replacing independent and the high degree of individualism among the minister level today. Got to replace that. He's high-minded. See, we had... For many years, we just had about 10 people leading everybody. and the one that wasn't getting nowhere. And then he has a statement here, apostolic statement. Either you will lead this generation or get out of the way. Just get out of the ministry. You're not planning on doing it. I'm going to give you two more things. Praise God. And actually, it's Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. The ability to adapt to a changing world, the ability to have a shared vision owned by all the membership, the ability to empower every able member within the church, the ability to structure the church and its ministry for growth success will ensure a ministry not only survive but prevail in the future. Now, see... See, once you work the word, I was listening to that Dan ministering, and I saw how he talks about how he followed, how he's connected, but he also give him example how manifestation is in his life because of his connection. And I watched his people. So, we're going with you. See, when you tell it, and you tell it how it happened, then you got the evidence. See, he came down here, and his wife wanted to see one of my G-Wagon. I have two. My wife had a white one. I got a gold one. And that's $250,000 a piece. All right. And so when I heard about it, I gave him the keys. And told him, take both of them. Y'all ride so you know, understand what you're doing. And she understands she wanted. And he just went off and rode in. Now, he don't know. I know he didn't order it now. I was watching him. He didn't order it. He'd be in March sometime. But he's falling so close. I've got to use somebody. He's falling so close, I can't stop. He kicked me on the heel. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. So you wonder why he a multimillionaire? Huh? My Christmas was on a desk when I walked in my office Sunday. And it wasn't no $8,000. It was $20,000. Give me time to go shopping if I want. I'm just showing I'm going to use it. I don't care what you, I won't shake you up. I'm going to use it because it needs to be used because some of y'all are holding back. You got a pastor, a retired pastor by the name of Tommy Lynn. Made a powerful statement. He said, man, Leroy was going and doing things at his dad's church with Brother Hagin, and I just sat there and watched him. And he said, now look at Leroy now and look at me. And it's a big gap. It's a big, big gap. So all I'm saying to you all, we're training you all so when you got a brother or sister advancing, pay attention to what they're doing. You listen. Listen. You're not gonna get promoted for being showing up. You know I'm trying to get money. I ain't trying to get no money from you, but you
It's not going to happen without the seed. And it's not going to happen with a foreseed. You're going to have to foresee and follow the path. This is what I did with Fred Price and Kenneth Hagin. This is what I did. All right? So as we're unfolding the mission of apostolic ministry knows how to follow, how to catch on, how to produce, how to not follow the crowd. Because I don't want you to stay in here and stay broke.
Right.
I don't want you to stay in here and stay sick. I don't want you to stay in here and your ministry not improve, or your business or whatever, not improve. I ain't got time. I waste my time long enough with trifling people. Mm-hmm. You know. But you know, I'm gonna ask it. Who on this line didn't do nothing when mom thing? You ain't sent a quarter. That's jacked up, man. It's the divine plan of lifting you up. It's not lifting us up. We're already up. But see, you got to be told. You sit there and say, "Hey, mama, I ain't got nothing to sin." Yeah, you got something to sin. You shouldn't have went to that restaurant. You should have left them shoes alone. You follow what I'm saying? See, I see some of y'all look dignified. Y'all looking at me all dignified. But I'm trying to get you out. I don't know how I got over here. What you going to do with Genesis 12, 1 through 3? What you going to do with Isaiah 45, 1 through 3? What you going to do with it? Why you think those boys, the MBB, set it up? Why do you think they set that up for you to get progress? They're getting it. Them boys get hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're all being promoted. We're trying to bring you somewhere. It's not going to happen without a seed. Now, people online that follow me, these people are giving like they're out of their mind. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're giving all the time. But then I get letters, business isn't changed. My house 97% complete because they're flowing in. So I'm telling you, that's the way you got to do it. See, an apostle will tell you, and especially a rich apostle really can talk to you. Look at y'all, I'm looking at you. You say he rich? Yes. But the Holy Ghost did it. I want all y'all to be rich. You know how much revelation you can get when you're rich? You don't have to be worrying about nothing else. You just go and worry about, just think about God. You ain't got to think about nothing. Everything else coming. All right. That's a little side here. I'll just tell you. Let me close. I want to challenge you to shift our paradigm by opening ourselves to prophetic revelation and apostolic wisdom, laying the true foundation for success, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you love me as a dad, every now and then I call my children. Matter of fact, I had my three sons and daughters in, and I told them, I said, "Now, and I want you to have this. Because if you get this," I'm gonna close with this, but if you get this, I'll be happy about it. And I believe this morning the Spirit of God is telling me many of y'all breakthrough in this statement I'm about to say. How many of y'all ready for your breakthrough? Big breakthrough. The only way you're going to be able to do what it takes to have full manifestation and full demonstration in your ministry and the people you minister to is to know the difference, come on, I'll miss this, between ownership and stewardship. You have to come to the point, I own nothing. But I'm a steward of everything.
Now, I pray, God, that impartation came by revelation to me. I set my children down. I said, now, all of y'all going to be multimillionaire. I said, but I got to train y'all to understand. Oh, Buck, I need that. You got it on my phone? I'm going to give it. Y'all got a few more minutes? You're going to get it anyway. Ownership and stewardship. I think the problem in sowing is owing. You owing and ownership. Ownership make you always be, let me run it off to you right quick. Ownership and stewardship, you must know the difference. Number one, when to give and when not to give. Number two, you can't be loose without the Holy Spirit direction. Number three, I know I'm going fast, but it'll be on the tape. People don't want to do what it takes and yet want the best. In other words, don't give to a trifling person. They just sit there and your family members are sit there with their lazy behind, and just because you blessed, they want things just like you. They can't get it. They got to learn the lesson. Number four, don't hold back when it's time to give. Don't hold back. Making excuses. Number five, Saul choosing is very important for the next level. Number six, remember, spending and sowing are not the same. Now, one of the examples came to me of a person didn't know the difference. Two examples, and you all know where the scripture is. The rich young ruler. He didn't know the difference between ownership and stewardship and lost out because God was taking him to another level. He thought he had money, but God, Jesus, was taking him to the 100-fold return. Because when you read right after that, that's why he was trying to take him. And then you have the rich farmer who owned his farm. He didn't know he was supposed to be a steward, and he went down. Okay. Stewardship, are y'all listening? Stewardship will determine every level. Not ownership, stewardship. Listen, I got three more. Senses cannot control stewardship. I remember Phil, when Phil was alive, Phil was sitting right there, and I saw him say something to his wife. She looked at him, and then she pulled the checkbook out and kind of threw it to him. They had $10,000 in the checking account, and Phil finna write the whole thing. And today, she's living in wealth because of it. She thought it, why? She didn't understand. Let me read that to you again. Senses cannot control stewardship. She didn't understand. Now listen to these two. I'm trying to get all y'all out. Over the years, I've tried to develop money-anointed stewardship. You never heard that before. Write it down. Money-anointed stewardship. And then number 10, that's 10 things I said to you, have it on tape. And these things came fresh from the Holy Ghost. And I went over there with my children. Leading, listening, learning the steps of handling supernatural money. Leading, listening, learning the steps of handling supernatural money. Raise your hand. Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I give you all the credit and all the glory. Holy Spirit, take these things in each one of my sons and daughters and manifest it in their lives. Let them see what we're aiming to put over to them. Some things they already knew, but I knew there was some fresh revelation here. And I thank you for this impartation. And I thank you for your visitation. And I thank you that whatever insight and revelation these children need to know about the seed, give it to them, because I know the seed, if you have mustard seed faith, seed everywhere, the seed everywhere. And I thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.